I think we're ready. We have, this is another expanded budget committee meeting. Thank you all for coming. Appreciate that. Let me just start out by saying that right now we have, where are we? We are 4.26 on the levy, and we're down at the end of the process. If I'm not going to be too forward, I would like to come out of this meeting with a tentative budget recommendation so that we can send it to the public hearing next week. And hopefully, after some talk and actions back and forth, we can achieve that today. And I would certainly like to do that. I've appreciated all the work that people have done, staff, to get to this point. And I think, we don't need to prolong this much longer than today if we can possibly do that. Mike, you're making a face. No.
We can. I know this.
My sense is we don't need to. Okay. We have a couple of things. We have on your desk the orange paper, an updated revenue summary from Norma. And what I'd like to do this evening, we have a couple of things that we have to do. We have a resolution from Solid Waste that needs a recommendation, and the director is here and she can talk about that. I want to have a discussion about David Squire's recommendation, with David Squire, the recommendation for the tax foreclosure process. There were some other things that were, there were two items on a blue sheet that we all had last week. One of them was COFA. And what about COFA? We will talk about that. We'll get a report from the county administrator and others on that, on where we are right now. And there was one other item. It was about the old library. And my sense is that we are not going to talk about the old library this evening. That is a definite committee discussion that should be done in planning and facilities and other places. That is not a part of this process right now. So if I have all of your permission, that can be put off until a later time. The other two items we will talk about this evening. On your desk you have, let me say this. It's fairly structured for the first few minutes of this, and then it's going to be additions or deletions and discussion and whatever may happen within the control of the committee. But I would like to, again, I will ask you to give me whatever you want to do in terms of additions and deletions after we've done with the first part of the meeting, if that's okay. Mike.
I would simply request, I appreciate your framing of the early part of the meeting with some of these topics. I hope that they'll be brief unless someone brings a motion. In other words, David can describe his memo, but his memo should stand because it's in the budget. The same with COFA, should stand if it's in the budget. If someone wants to bring a motion to change it, then we can go into that.
Okay. I agree. Let me know. First item, you have a resolution establishing the unit charge for the 2010 solid waste annual fee. And if someone want to move that? Nathan, second. Dooley, and questions, comments? Greg.
As long as the director's here, I'd be kind of interested in hearing from her. I think that this is this went up a couple bucks last year, and I just wouldn't mind hearing her thoughts on the justification of an increase.
And she is here, and she will attempt to do that.
you sit these days.
I'm not
not sure if you heard my presentation that I made with the program summary, but the long and short of it, Greg, is that we, as you know, the economic downturn greatly affected the market conditions this year, and unfortunately, we, at the beginning of the year, we thought we were going to lose $500,000, which is roughly $10 on the annual fee. We cut our budget by $200,000, basically just made a lot of decisions about deferring programs. As a result of that, and as a result of market conditions improving, since they were pretty much non-existent at the beginning of the year, we'll probably wind up running a deficit of about $100,000 instead of that $500,000. So as a result of that, as a result of the fact that I'm predicting that market conditions will be about 9% lower next year compared with what we predicted for this year, as well as the fact that we are we're at the point where we're we have increases in several key contracts, roughly $1 on the annual fee is $50,000. So between all of those items, it's a change of approximately $400,000. So what I've been able to do is, again, defer programs and projects next year and you know, do the best I can to save. So I think the real bottom line here is we're very lucky that I cut the budget, by the way, on non-mandated items by about 17%. An overall budget reduction by about 2.5-3%. So we're just lucky that the market's turned around and we've been able to maintain a reasonably little amount of increase, which during this type of a disaster is pretty fortunate.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Frank.
Yeah, Barb, off the top of your head, do you know what the with Cornell and Ithaca College, what the number of units they have, how the 189,000 and change for Cornell and 36,000 for Ithaca College were calculated. And let me tell you why I'm asking that. Multi-unit residences, three or more units, will be paying $56 a billing unit. And there are a number of those that are vacant in the county, and it has gone up for many of the same economic reasons you just mentioned. I'm just trying to get a handle on, you know, a lot of the vacancies have been caused in one regard or another because of the number of units the university has put up around Jessup Road. So I'm just trying to see if the if they were how their numbers were calculated, if you can say it off the top of your head.
Well, there's a couple of different questions there, but to be brief, the Cornell University and Ithaca College, as most of you know, are based on a formula. It's a fee-for-service based on tonnage that's generated from previous years. Their fees have gone up. As far as vacant homes or vacant apartments or vacant businesses, that obviously, if that was an issue to the legislature, you would actually have to look at that as part of your review of the annual fee in subsequent years. That would have to be done, you know, because it's a policy in terms of how it's being charged. With respect to the specific answer to your question about Jessup Road, I don't know the answer to that. I certainly could find out. My gut feeling is telling me that those apartments are not actually part of the Cornell fee. They're in addition to what Cornell would pay. It's the structure with respect to what Cornell does pay and what they don't in terms of apartments is much more complex than I could answer, but I'm more than happy to look into that as well.
So do I understand that Cornell is paying in addition to the 189,000?
There are charges that they pay having to do with separate apartments that they own that are affiliated with the university but not part of how the university bills. So in other words, and I think maybe David can clarify, and I don't think assessment's here, There are many ways that Cornell winds up paying the county in terms of waste generated. One way is from on campus. There are many housing units that actually wind up paying separately, and we have a whole listing of those. So, doesn't quite answer your question, but I can certainly dig for the answer.
Yeah, if you could, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Martha, Mike, and then Carol.
Thanks for reaching around. We're just getting handed all this whole packet. The institutional charges, were they increased at the sort of same prorated amount as the...
No, the institutional charges are not based in a prorated amount. They're based on a formula. So in other words, and this was negotiated when we first started, John Gutenberger and I and a few others, Scott Heyman, were involved. But so, for example, if you look at your packets, there's four different pieces that make up that annual fee. One of them is a charge for old landfills. Everybody use the old landfills and has to pay for the closure and the monitoring, which could go on indefinitely but will be reduced over time. Recycling costs, we use the number that's generated from 2 years prior just so that we have very solid data. That is inspected very, very closely now that we have staff that monitor on a regular basis. Disposal fee is based on not only the debt service, but also the actual tonnage that's disposed of at our facility. Administrative costs, the universities pay half of the cost because pretty much they don't really apply to them, but they agree to pay for them. And that's what generates the total. So that is not the same basis as the other units.
Okay, thank you.
If anybody has specific questions, please feel free to call me, and I can spend some time with you on that.
I was just going to refer people to the exact same pages that Barbara just went through and also mentioned that Jonathan has reviewed these, and every single expense is justified so that if we're taken to court, he can back them up.
And the reason he can is because we are providing particular direct services to both businesses and residents.
Carol.
Yeah. Hi, Barbara. Family residences, could you talk to me about the alternatives you might have considered instead of an across-the-board amount that would be based more
that
on
would,
the usage?
That would not be me you would want to talk to. This was definitely studied by the legislative body and restudied, and there is documentation as to the history of how the fees were developed. But what I can tell you is, if you look at the $56 annual fee, I have a little chart, and I'm more than happy to pass it around. Of that fee, recycling collection that everyone has the opportunity to receive is $16. Recycling and the debt service for the recycling center is $13, so $29 or more than half is for recycling. Old landfills that have been closed and what we have to do to maintain and keep those up, and also the debt service to close them was $12. Administration is $8. And waste reduction efforts and public information is $5, and household hazardous waste is $2. So that's those are the costs that make up the fee.
I'm asking about for the increases that we're levying now, or that we're proposing to levy now, alternative structures that would be based more for the increases on the amount of use that people make.
I mean, when the original fee, again, that's the same answer, which is the people who are responsible for looking at different ways of financing, it does not rest with the solid waste staff. We would be a part of it, but if that were to be looked at, that would be an ad hoc committee. I've actually just been going over the history over time, and if indeed that's something that wants to be reviewed. I will say I've done some very detailed analysis, and there's no question in my mind that if we aren't the cheapest in the state for what's being charged and what residents pay, We're certainly darn close. An average family of four that sets out trash plus pays this fee pays about $160 a year. In a lot of locations, when it's done differently, recycling alone is on the average of $35 a month, let alone any other costs for programs and reduction. So that's just something to keep in mind as you look at the whole picture. The annual fee should, when we're done paying off the debt, which is over $1 million on our budget of $6 million, the fees will go down, and that's what, in 2016, possibly? 2012 it starts, yeah. But that's, you know, a little over $1 a week that people are paying for all of the programs that we offer. The other option is, of course, to reduce programs.
Thank you.
Tyke. I'm having trouble with this, just from the standpoint that, you know, you guys do a great job at solid waste, but, you know, Groton's not a very rich district at all, and every one of these fees, increases in fees, are really starting to hurt people. I'm worried about the elderly. I'm worried about single family with single moms. It's getting tough, and you add up every one of these in the cumulative effort. It's getting pretty tough for them to afford to live in their homes anymore. And I don't want to see any more people leave. And I certainly, you know, the roles for DSS have increased. That's not going to get better. And I think that we need to take a stance someplace, and we need to do it pretty soon.
Anyone else? Hearing none, nothing. All in favor of moving this on to the legislature for the next meeting, signify by raising your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, and that should add up to 14. That's how many people we have. What a genius. Okay, that will be recommended to the legislature on 11 to 3 vote. Thank you very much.
Yep.
On your desk also, there is a resolution that will be considered by the Government Operations Committee, or GPOWER, I'm sorry, the new name, Budget, Capital, and Finance Committee, is at 4:45 on November 4th. It is the authorization to impose a 25-cent increase in the mortgage tax. That will be looked at on 45 minutes before the next meeting, okay? I think I'd like to talk a little bit about the information about the policy recommendation on the tax foreclosure process. And do we have to act on that?
Are you going to act on the resolution you just mentioned?
No, that will be...
it's a joint meeting.
It's a joint meeting.
November 4th.
On November 4th. No, we're not going to do it today. The policy recommendation on the tax foreclosure process, and David is here, and do you want to give us 5 minutes on that, or do we need a resolution? Do we need to do anything? Okay.
Well, the policy would have to be eventually, you know, ultimately revised, if there's time to do that. It's all come about because of this case that basically said cabinets don't have the power to...
David, can you turn your mic on?
Yeah, all of
it. It comes about because cabinets don't have the authority to reinstate liens that are naturally canceled as a result of the real property tax law. When we convey a property, we convey it as is where it is, quit claim deed. In the case where there's a parcel that is in our name and then we pull it from the auction, We have deeded it back with a quick claim deed with stipulation that all the aliens.
It's still not working.
His name is unplugged? It's on.
No. See the switch off?
The switch there?
It is not.
It seems like it's working.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
All right. So the, but we put in a stipulation which is clearly clouds the title.
And there's been significant legal cases where subsequent mortgages have been challenged in the courts. To give you a case in point, it had an effect here. But last year we had a large property that we
let them redeem
after we owned it. Now that property I know is attempting to refinance a lot of its obligations. And this could be very well become an issue with it because there was existing mortgages on it. And so the simplest way is just say, and this is not unusual. Most counties stop collecting payments or taxes a month or two before they have a sale. What this policy would do is, when we know we own the property, we would stop taking money. Right now, the legal day is in January. We continue to collect, and we continue to go and visit properties and make sure that everybody who has an interest in the property knows that they can lose their property if they don't pay their taxes. That takes from January through May, and the auction is held in June. Typically, we get ownership from the courts about 2 weeks before the auction is scheduled. And I know for a fact that once we own the property, people have taken advantage of the situation by having somebody come in and pay the taxes for them for fee so they can take over the property, so avoid bidding for the property in the open market. And this would curtail that practice. I know that in last year's auction, there were three such properties that happened. And there's nothing we can do about it because our policy has to be uniform.
Is it fair to say that we would be joining other counties who would be doing
this? The counties that surround us, in Tioga County, their final day to pay is the final day they stop taking payments. Sullivan County, which has more foreclosure decisions, you know, and all the case law pretty much in New York State comes out of Sullivan County because there's so many varied property interests in that county. But they really the experts in this, and they strongly advise any county not to take payment after the final day of pay. The final day of pay would be unreasonable in our cases because we want to do all this due diligence about making sure we understand what's on the property, who's on the property, and making sure we do everything in our power to make sure that if there's somebody on the property that we can help, we will.
You all got one of these on your desk, and the first paragraph, there's a $75,000 projected revenue that would result in this policy change. And at some point, we're going to have to do that. Martha?
So I'm certainly not going to claim I understand this, but I do want to know how do we get $75,000 from making this change? And I assume that would be a one-time change?
Well, that's based upon the idea that there would have been three properties that would have been sold that weren't sold in the past 3 years. And the differential between the taxes and the sale is generally around $25,000. And that's the process we look at.
Any other questions? Mike and then Carol.
I'll just make the point that this 75 is in the budget. David's just explaining why it's in the budget,
right.
And if someone wants to make a change, they raise their hand and make a motion.
Yeah, except that there's a process for it that I don't think we can do right now.
Oh, no, that's a committee process later on.
Okay. Carol?
Yeah, I had put this on my list, and I just want to thank David for coming with the explanation and writing up the simple explanation. It had come out of a conversation I had with him in which I was wanted to make sure that I understood it and that we all understood it, and I am satisfied that it's been vetted, and thank you, and I don't have a motion about it now.
Julie?
Well, for many years now, we have been a kind county working to allow owner-occupied homes to continue to be occupied by their owners. But the policy that David has shown that is the present policy includes language that makes the ability to redeem apply to everybody. Because you have to. You can't single out one just owner-occupied houses to have it apply to. That wasn't a good sentence, but you understood what I meant. The problem here is that this is not the first time that the potential problem for our policy has been pointed out. And in general, when it's come up, David has recommended that we change, and we haven't. There have always been these attorneys who say you'd be better off doing it, being like everybody else. And this is the first time I've seen it come to the legislature as part of the budget. So it's kind of a surprise to me. I understand the desire to have new revenue sources in the budget. I haven't seen the court case that's being alluded to here that may or may not be persuasive. I have heard the argument before. It's not good to have clouded titles. I talked to someone in one of our banks today about this, and I didn't get the great sense of worry that I expected I would get. So my preference would be to not include that $75,000, to see whether there is another way to cure this if it continues to bother administration, and see if maybe a county, which is a taxing entity of itself, might have the authority to reinstate liens. And that seems to be the thing that's in question. That's what clouds the title. So I could make a motion now, or I could wait until the next meeting and make a motion, because we haven't really discussed it as a legislature, and sometimes it's better to let things sit and be thought about.
Well, I was going to suggest that the Fee Power Committee would take this up and bring it back to us as soon as possible. Is that satisfactory with everyone?
Yeah, we already have a date, so.
Okay, good enough. Thank you.
As far as the budget, I didn't hear an answer about, is this a one-time change that's going to, because of a shift in the policy, or do you see
every
this
year.
As... What?
It should be every year, yeah. if his example is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Could we have a short discussion about where COFA is now, how much money we have in last year's budget and this year's budget? Joe, do you want to do that? Or was there a question that was generated last time? Carol, did you ask the question?
Yeah, that was on my list also.
Martha,
wanted to make sure that I don't have a specific...
Okay, well, Joe is willing to give us a report on that, Norma. Go ahead.
I'll talk both about the numbers specifically and the issue generally. I can do it fairly quickly, I think. With respect to the numbers, Norma reminds me that there is $30,000 in this budget. It's a part of a multi-year funding that I believe was initiated last year to cover the cost of occupancy for COFAs. There's $30,000 in multi-year, plus we put in this budget $25,000 to refurnish the office in the event that they move next year. So there's a total of $55,000 in this budget that's related to COFA's cost of occupancy. The issue generally is whether we should put money in this budget for rent, or whether we should instead look at space that might be available within existing county facilities and try to try to accommodate space needs through existing space as opposed to renting space. I think the cost of renting space for COFA has been estimated about $80,000. So as we put this budget together, our thought was we ought to look internally first before we budget any $80,000 lease payment for COFA. So as a part of that, we've looked at the Human Service Building. There was an old space study that was done years ago as a part of day reporting. There was an indication in that report that there might be as much as 4,000 square feet of available space if things were rearranged and maybe pushed together a little more closely. There's other space in county buildings. So at this point, I think my recommendation to the legislature, and it's really a part of our budget, is before we budget for rent, let's take a careful look at available space in our own buildings and see if we can make use of that space. Now, with respect to the specific tenant of that space, we've talked earlier about some of the problems that might go along with COFA occupying space within the Human Service Building. So at this point, I'd look at that more as a resource, as available space, and let's look at how we can maybe move offices around to go into that space. Maybe it's COFA that ends there. Maybe it's another county use. But again, let's look to existing available space first before we go out and rent.
Okay. Any questions? Frank, go ahead.
So, Joe, as I understand it, then all we're doing is putting this money in as a placeholder. We haven't made any commitment on the Human Service Building space whatsoever, particularly for COFA.
That's correct.
So, and we are going to examine other space within the county that may be able to accommodate various moves and configurations.
That's right.
Thank you.
It's fair to say, Martha, you had your hand up, or are you out?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, if something doesn't, moving to another county space doesn't work out, at the moment in the budget is basically one-time money at 55,
yeah.
We might end up with an $80,000 bill, which would be obviously recurring if it's a long-term move. So is it your sense we could deal with that within the contingency budget if it comes out that way?
That's the fail-safe, yes.
Okay. Let me just say, I will take the question, but I don't really want to discuss this item right now. It was basically a report item, and if it's a specific question about what the county administrator said, then please go ahead, but I don't want to go back and forth about what we're going to do with it. Dooley, go ahead.
You said there is multi-year funding for this. What is the period of years
So 3 years at $30,000.
It was put in 2009, $30,000, yeah, for three consecutive years. So it would end in 2011.
So it doesn't end this next year.
That's correct.
In the 2010 budget.
Carol.
Well, I think this is not unrelated to the question of a security officer at the Human Services Building. I just point that out because that's a problem there, too.
Carol.
Yeah, could you refresh my memory, Joe? If COFA has to vacate during this year the spaces it's in now, do we get rent from the court system, and is that already factored into this budget? If so,
nice
we,
try,
we don't.
Carol.
No. We don't get rent from
okay.
the court system. We are under a mandate to accommodate the space needs of the court system. So this would be a part of that, and there is no rent that goes along with that.
Anything else on that topic? Okay, I think we'll get to why we're here at this point. We have one. Let me just say before this, Mike has a resolution concerning the assigned counsel, and he's the only one that I have on record right now. And basically what I wanted to say is we started this process with a 3% tax levy. We have it up to 4.2. And what troubles me about what we've been involved in the last three meetings is that we've made some moves on things that are, in fact, we've given money to people that didn't ask for it, which is kind of strange in a tight budget year. And And we've moved the levy to a certain level of 4.2 right now, and I think what our goal should be, at least my goal, is somewhere less than what we have up there on the screen. And I'm hoping that people will consider what's going on in the world in Tompkins County. And I think what we can be criticized for as a legislature is we've all made the case, well, many of us have made the case, and we need to cut things. And, you know, it's a difficult time. And so then we end up with adding things. And that sometimes is a hard thing to describe. And I feel okay about doing it sometimes personally, but as a whole legislature, I'm not sure that we project a really a good image. But that's only me. Go ahead.
Well, I would just point out that the maintenance of effort budget in April, and I don't know what it would be if you recalculated it now, but in April it would have been a 15% levy. So at this point, 4.25 is a significant cut from the way we're operating in 2009. I think that's really the right frame of reference. I sent a message to Norma this afternoon and copied you and Joe that I wanted to make a motion about the pension costs, and I had COFA on there. Was there anything else I had on there? Because I didn't print it out.
No.
Okay, so there is. So I do have one motion.
Well, there is. Mike is the only one on record now, and then what I was planning to do is open it up to additions and deletions after his motion.
So my point would be that
if I'm allowed to do that, that would be great.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you. I'm going to move over to OTR 79, which is assigned counsel. It's on page 63 of your TAN pages. When Julia and Bob and others from the task force gave us their recommendations, it was very coherent and very cohesive in terms of what they're planning on for increased responsibilities in that office. But the request from the department was affirmed by Joe to add an increase of 2.5 hours. So my motion would be to actually decrease that OTR 79. Julia gave me a breakdown of which of those numbers are reinstating existing levels of positions and which of those numbers would actually be the increase of 2.5. And I would move to decrease their target by $4,704, which is the amount of the 2.5 increased hours. My hope is that they can figure out a way to implement some of the recommendations from the task force in their existing hours. But there's very few departments who got an increase of hours, even though this is a strong task force recommendation, if not one that I can support at this time.
Is there a second to Mike's resolution? Leslie. Discussion? Questions? Comments? Martha Lynn Dooley.
Again, the smaller the numbers to get, the more we can talk about them.
Try to break that habit.
Well, it was not my motion, and I strongly oppose it. I brought along the recommendations from the task force, and there are something like 20 recommendations, and something like 17 have to be carried out by Julia and Bob and the other person in this. Forgive me, I don't know the person's name, but the secretary in the program. And if they don't have the time, they're not going to do it. They will not be able to carry out the cost-saving measures that are in here. And, for example, assigned counsel, it would be responsible for, the assigned counsel program is responsible for voucher review. That one item, instead of having vouchers from attorneys go directly to the judges who have not that much time and not, may not be looking at it as carefully, it would go first to assigned counsel staff to review those vouchers and go back and forth with the attorneys, and the judge would have the final review, of course, that's their authority, but we have information that the judges would be willing to do that this way. It would take a considerable amount of time by assigned counsel staff, but very, very likely within a couple of months, make back $4,700 or however, what, you know, more than this amount. And that's just one recommendation. I mean, I could go down the list, but I don't think that. Then there's spot auditing of vouchers. So there are a whole number of items in here that basically, if assigned counsel doesn't do them, then the recommendations of this task force, you know, we might as well not have done the task force. So I would also point out that if staff doesn't have time to get attorneys in place, then that means people are in jail longer when if they don't have attorneys arguing for bail for them or whatever other motions need to be made. I just think for this amount of money, there's probably going to be far more lost than gained in this.
Dooley.
Martha gave important details. I heard this and looked at the size of the staff and thought this doesn't make sense because they are fully occupied now and we'd like them to do some of these recommendations, so I can't support this cut.
Anyone else? Comments or questions? All in favor of Mike's resolution, signify by raising your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 should be 8-6. This is the point of the meeting when there are additions or deletions by individual legislators. Please, Martha, you're first, then Frank.
Thank you. I'm going to just check with Joe before I make the motion. When David brought the question of additional pension costs to us, we talked about it, and I believe we added $200,000 in target funding to the levy. Is that right?
I think it was maybe 195.
195. I would like to move that 100,000 stay in target and 95,000 of that be one-time funding instead.
Is there a second to that? Will? Comments, questions, discussion, Martha.
Well, I think Joe actually has said to me that would be a reasonable thing to do with the, there's quite a bit of uncertainty. We have some sense that the comptroller's office, which gave us that estimate, may have overestimated our current payroll and 2010 payroll as well, so that there really may be it may be reasonable to move this, and then we have funding in the contingent fund that would be able to deal with it if we're slightly off.
Dooley.
What is the evidence that they may have misestimated our payroll?
Well, I'd say that the estimate we get is very accurate, but it's not accurate to the penny. Because of the way it ultimately works out, every year there's adjustments made to the estimate. And like in 2009's actual bill is $100,000 less than the original, the estimate they gave us. Because of these, not so much the actual salary. The salaries were very accurate, not necessarily in the tier, precise tier, but they all balanced out. But there were adjustments that moved the billing to other parties rather than us. So I think that there's a reasonable $100,000 swing one way or the other.
I remember you saying it could go up $100,000 or down $100,000.
But so in a case in point, last year in 2009 it was down $100,000 from what originally they said it was going to be, based upon the salaries that were projected at the time to the final salaries.
So there was a question for this year of whether it should be $95,000 or $295,000, and we stuck on the middle ground, and now you think it is likely to be even lower. I guess I wish I had that positive sense that you have. I don't think I do.
Well, I think I think it would be given what we're looking at, I think it would be a gamble I'm willing to take. It can be covered by contingent fund. I don't think it puts us at risk.
Lifeline. Okay. Anyone else?
Well, the if it goes up 100,000, that comes out of contingent funds. So it's already what we voted on before already takes into account our reliance on contingent fund, possibly.
Mike.
Based on kind of signals that people have been getting about this item in the future, I'm going to say that in 2011 we can pretty much guarantee it's going to be going up.
Joe?
Yes, substantially.
Anyone else? All in favor of the resolution to...
I think the resolution repeated
because we'll try to... Yeah. The resolution is to take 95,000 out of target and put it in one time and leave 100,000 in the target, which originally, I think we have 195 mm-hmm. in there now. Martha?
I'd like to ask Joe to comment on that because we did have a conversation.
Yeah, I think it's as I described it when I first brought the issue to the legislature about this new $200,000 cost item. I look at this as a bell curve, and the state comptroller has estimated that $200,000 is going to be, we need an extra $200,000 just to cover these costs. And there's a margin of error on either side of that. And again, in talking to David, typically that margin of error shifts to the left, to the downside of that estimate. So when I explained this issue to the legislature, I said my recommendation is to cover it with target, because of what Mike Hattery is saying, where it's going to go up over time. At the same time, the legislature may wish to consider using some one-time money to cover that margin of error on the downside, to kind of hedge by using one-time money to cover, again, anything above the first $100,000. So when I rolled it out to begin with, I think I kind of explained there might be some options that the legislature would have available to it, including the use of one-time money.
Any other questions or comments? I sense a need to vote. All in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No, 7. 7, 7, sorry. I was voting for Kathy.
Actually, I have her proxy.
You do? Well, how is she going to go?
Follow my
rules. Yeah, all right. 7-7. So I guess we'll, that fails. We will end up with that discussion taking place at some later time. Anyone else? Frank?
I have a couple that I'd like to present, but I want to ask a question before we proceed. Joe, can you explain to me about this Smart Office $50,000 contingent fund that we've set aside? Because I have some questions about that.
The lean office?
Lean
office. I can't. There is $50,000 that I've requested be put into contingency to support lean office training. Lean office training is something that I'm familiar with through work that was done in Onondaga County, but more relevant to us, it's something that's been done with success at TC3 this year. And basically, lean office is to take a look at a system or a program, a process, to look at ways that process might be streamlined to make it more efficient. And I know that during the CAP review of our budget in the summertime, Carl Hans was emphatic about how the most important thing we can do in our own budget is to put a little money aside to do lean office training in our own operations, because he found it incredibly valuable at TC3 this year. A lot of work has been done there in kind of front-end processing of student enrollment. And I think from both the college's perspective and the customer's perspective, it's really paid off and things have improved greatly and are more efficient. That's something that we'd like to try here. It is, at this point, a concept. I've recommended money as opposed to a specific plan or department or first step. It's in contingency so that once we think this through a little more carefully and decide where we want to start and where we think you can have greatest value, we would come back to you with a proposal and ask you to pull that money out of contingency and apply for a specific project.
I just want to I'd like to talk with you a little bit about about that at time beyond this. The I have two proposals I'd like to float, two motions I'd like to make. The first one is with our legislative budget. It's not an OTR. It's on page 109 of our 108, actually, of the big book. I'd like to propose that I'd like to move that we cut our salaries for 2010 by the same percentage that we've asked the departments to absorb, which is 6.25%. That takes the $18,700 that's proposed to begin January 1, which actually is a continuation of our existing salary. It takes it back by $1,169 each. It'll result in a $17,535 savings, if you will. And if I get a second, I'd like to talk about that.
Mike. Okay.
We've done a little research. There's always a challenge to this. These are salaries of the yet-to-be-elected individuals. If we wanted to propose this change during the term of the sitting legislature, it would require a referendum in order to do it. Jonathan has suggested by memo that we include language in every single one of our salary-setting resolutions each year that includes the opportunity, or at least the understanding, that we can adjust it if we wish. And I'm just suggesting that we bite the bullet a little bit as well as we've asked our departments and agencies to do.
Any other comments? Nathan?
Yeah, if we were to do this, how does that affect the salary schedule? Because is it... Does it increase? I know.
No, the salary schedule, according to Resolution 60 that we passed.
I mean, was it a specific salary number or was it an increase number?
No, it's for the first year, January 1, 2010 to December, it was $18,700, which is the same as we're receiving now.
Right.
The second year, it was also $18,700. The third year, $19,200. The fourth year, $19,700. However, the increases that are proposed would only take effect if the unemployment rate in Tompkins County was 4% or less. So I'm not proposing we do anything with the figures have been set. It's not a percent of anything. So the second year would return to 18.7, the third year to 19.2, not return to it, it would be that, and the fourth year would be 19.7, assuming that there was a 4% or less unemployment rate in the county.
May I make a comment? The legislature budget, when it came from the county administrator, had a reduction in hours of from 40 to 37 and a half for the three employees. And, you know, I just want you to remember that. There has been a recommendation to restore that. So it would be, and there was no change in the amount of money that was for legislators who bill for gas. So it was essentially the same money as this year that we were moving forward. Someone else had their hand up there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to speak to Frank's motion.
Please do.
The fact that we already have said that it's a 0% increase for 2 years, let people who decided to run for the legislature or not know what the salary would be. The election is a few days off. I don't know if such a change in the ground rules about salaries would matter to the candidates, but I think it's absolutely not what we should be talking about at this point of the year, because we acted when we did so that people could consider what they might have in the way of remuneration should they become candidates and get elected. I think it's too late to do it.
Someone else, Nathan, and then Martha.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually okay with this because it does return to what it is now after 2010, and I think that I mean, I've received a lot of emails from a lot of county employees where we're reducing their hours, and that has a real effect on them. And I think that this is something that shows that we're at least part of the necessary cuts that need to be done. So I think it's a wise choice.
Well, I'm sorry. Well, Martha, then you.
Well, I can't support this. There has been a small account for professional services of $5,000 in target money, and that's not in the current budget, so that's cut out. I agree with Dooley that we've basically made a promise that people who are elected in November will get a certain amount. I think you'll remember, Frank, that we had quite a back and forth about the salary that we did take with 2 years of flat with no increase, and then having the second 2 years be contingent on the unemployment rate, I think is a reasonable and fair level of sacrifice, and I think that's where we should leave it.
Will.
Yeah, Frank, I'm sorry. I too cannot support this. I appreciate the spirit which was put forth, but as people recall, I actually argued very strongly against increasing the salary of legislators given the economic climate. To actually give a decrease seems both unfair and punitive at this point. We are not talking about reducing hours. I think we will be continuing to work as hard, if not harder, given all the other we're dealing with. And I think it really, as people have said, it's just very poorly timed. So I would hope that we will resist this particular move.
Mike Schaefer.
I don't understand the poorly timed part, but okay. I'm talking to a lot of people, obviously, and they don't understand why we haven't done this already, so that's why I support it and that's why I second it. If you're worried about what other people who are running for legislature are, I mean, I can tell you my opponent said last night that she'd be okay with this. So I'm okay with it and she's okay with it, so that's two.
Unfortunately,
I think this is symbolic. I'm in the private sector and my salary's down from last year. Everybody I talk to in the private sector, their salary's down from last year. And I mean, if you want to send a message, this is not such a bad message to send. So I hope that you'll support this.
Okay, Mike. Martha, did you have your?
No, you haven't. Carol.
Carol, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I'll go on record opposing this. I'm pretty discouraged that we only got a handful of us of positions on the legislature with any opposition this year. And I think that it requires more time and effort on our part to do a good job of the retraction that we're faced with and are going to continue to be faced with. I actually did have a few constituents who asked me, who somehow were under the impression that a raise for legislators was in the works in this budget. So I had occasion to review this week. And the prospects of actually implementing the, we basically locked in the amount for 4 years, not for just a year. The prospects, even should the economy recover, of the unemployment rate going down below 4%, when you look at the history over time, because I reviewed that, in the time frame of the next term, are, I think, very, very low. For our departments, I think there's the prospect, should things recover, of being able to get back on track with increases. And I think we need to be encouraging people to look at public life, not building in further discouragement. So I would share the sentiments of those who've pointed out that people have made decisions for their lives based on parameters we passed back in, was it March or April?
It is Leslin, then Tyke, then Frank, and then Gray. And is that worth $1,100? I think it is. Go ahead.
It is. It is, Mr. Chair. It so is. You know, every year we seem to get to this point where there's the snowball move. And earlier this year, when we decided to set the salaries where we did, we said that this was sending a message. We were doing something significant in having a 0% increase for us for 2 years. So like Carol, I'm just going to go on record and saying that I do oppose this. I don't think that it is a deterrent to people running or not, but I think the people who are here are working hard. As a matter of fact, I wish that this were a year where I can vote for an increase for the chair of the legislature, because I think that's a full-time job, a more than full-time position, and it doesn't get compensated enough. So I would not be voting to cut any more than there is right now.
Tyke.
I know I'm a short timer, so it doesn't matter much, but you know, come on, guys. I'm taking a hit of $18,700 when I leave here. I can do it.
Yeah, but we would vote to keep you, Tyke. Frank. I'm sorry, Greg, and then Frank.
I think these jobs are what they are. I don't think $1,100 is going to make a difference as far as recruiting. I think the bottom line for me, this is public service, not a career. I'll support Frank's motion.
Frank.
I guess I'm surprised that we're asking our departments to suck it up, and that you've probably received as many emails as I have and letters, and principally I'm getting them from the departments that I, through which the committee that I chair. But we're asking these folks to take a hit. They're pleading for their jobs, not necessarily $1,100. They're pleading for their salaries in some cases. And the agencies that we were pretty, that were under discussion the last time, we were relatively, that took a lot of time to discuss that, and there were some impassioned pleas made by some of you around this table. The concern, and I disagree with Dooley, that this is bad timing. Every time you open the paper, and with all due respect to Joe, I mean, you don't want to shoot the messenger, but every time, almost every time we come to a meeting, there's a new wrinkle thrown at us by the state of New York that we have to suck up. There's no guarantees in this, folks, and you're looking for a guaranteed salary. We've had this discussion, as Leslin said, in the past. If any of us are doing this for the money, you're in the wrong business. We're making a contribution of time as well as receiving some stipend, which is very generous of the taxpayer, and it takes a lot of time. Those of you that can devote more time than others, it's kind of you to do that. But I don't think that it's unheard of for us to give something back. If you want to take the $17,000 and spread it out among some of the departments or perhaps even our own legislative staff, that lost the 5,000 that Martha mentioned, there's an opportunity to maybe restore one or two things. I don't know the answer to that. We have another meeting coming up on Wednesday, and that might give some time to reconsider that. But this, to me, $1,100 a piece is a rather minimal contribution that we can make, and at least make a gesture.
Let me just make a comment, Frank. If we come out of here with a tentative budget, there is no meeting Wednesday. But go ahead.
A question, Frank, and then a comment. How much? Tell me again. How much is the amount? I didn't.
It's 6.25%. Works out to $1,169 each. But I did not figure in the half salary that the other half salary that the chair gets.
So the total. So you don't actually have the number.
So multiply 1169. Can someone do?
Do you want the total motion? Is that what you're looking
for?
Go ahead. The total motion would be 18,116 reduction on the salaries and $7,337 on the fringe, because you still have to calculate in fringe.
Oh, sorry. 18,116 on salary. Mm-hmm. And how much on fringe?
$7,337. Total motions, $25,452 reduction.
Well, if Frank, I'd support this if we could put this toward living wage for human services coalition agencies, and I mean that. That didn't get anywhere on Wednesday. That would be the spirit in which I would support it, but otherwise, I just think it's the wrong thing to do.
We should.
Excuse me. Let me make a comment. I may support it if those people who use the fringe benefit are the ones who pay for that. For those people who don't use the fringe of their salary, why would they have their fringe reduced when they don't have it? Go ahead, Frank.
If you don't have the fringe,
right,
you're not paying anything.
Right. So she's taken out the fringe for every employee.
No, it's not 15.
Yes or no?
It's only the fringe as it represents the individuals who are losing it. So, no comment.
Okay. Anyone else? All in favor, Julie.
I'm not sure that I made clear for Frank why I'm opposed. It's changing the rules of the game after the campaign has begun. And if everybody who gets elected wants to turn back their salary, not accept it, that's fine. I didn't understand what you said about Jonathan's suggestion having language in every salary resolution that says we can do something annually. What was that?
In his memo, wait a minute, let me read it to you. In his memo of 2002,
pardon me?
He says, item 4, the board would be well advised that any resolution setting board member salaries for 4-year terms should include language that makes it clear that the salaries could be changed during the course of the term. He had 4 suggestions in that memo. Most we've apparently complied with them.
But we didn't put that in?
That says during the term. This resolution that we passed doesn't deal with during the term. It deals with prior to the term. But the nearest wording that I can find in Resolution 60 is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Fifth and sixth, whereas is it, that read, this resolution does not impede the Tompkins County Legislature from exercising the option to vote against annual salary increases in any year of their term. And
that's it.
That's in there. So we've covered, we followed his advice.
So I think that I'm glad to know that was in there. What that says to me is that we set the ground rules for this election. People decided to run or not to run. This is one of the things they could consider. And whoever is elected January 1st, they can decide that they want to change their salaries.
But
that's what that says.
But if you do that after the term begins, you have to do it by referendum.
No, if you increase it.
I think you can decrease your own.
Can I call the question?
Mike.
Can I call the question, please?
Absolutely.
So I think the subject is covered adequately in what we passed earlier this year.
Sorry.
All in favor of calling questions, signify by raising your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And opposed to calling the question, raise your hand. 10 to 4. We're calling the question. All in favor of Frank's resolution, it's basically a 6.4 reduction. 6.25, I'm sorry, plus fringe, which includes all 15 people, signified by, yes, it does, Frank. I just got that from Norman.
Okay.
Yeah. Signified by raising your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 to 6. Any other resolutions? Go ahead, Frank.
Nancy, I'm not sure this is going to work now. I'd like to propose that OTR 76, I'll give you a second to find that in your tan pages. It's on page 60. It's dealing with the Youth Services Department. I'd like to propose that we restore $4,100 for the van, that we cut $10,000 out at one of our previous meetings. And if I get a second, I'll explain the plan.
Nathan, second?
Okay. We cut out $10,000, and it was supposed to cover the cost of the van that goes around with regard to the rural municipalities, that shared van service. Nancy and I were speaking about how we might bring this back in, and she took the time to contact a number of the municipal officials who would be affected by this. Part of the concern is that there's 2 years remaining, 18 months, excuse me, remaining on the lease for this van. Excuse me. If we don't fund this and the municipalities are not able to come up with monies to cover it, believe it or not, they will be penalized, as any one of us would, that are leasing a vehicle of $2,100. They'd actually have to pay a penalty to turn the van back in. So what she did was she got a hold of these folks, and they agreed to pick up 60% of the cost of the $10,000 to cover what they felt they could afford, and that leaves about $4,100 that they've come back and asked that we might restore, with the hope that, and this is just for 2010, with the hope that during 2010 they can come up with some alternative funding sources to carry them through for the second year, the remaining 8 months or so, and perhaps lock on to a van that they do not have to lease in the future. So that's the long explanation.
I had Mike, and then I have Pam, and then I have Martha.
I think my question got answered, but it's one time, Frank, not target, correct?
Right.
Pam?
I got lost in Frank's explanation when he started using the term them, and he said they could come up to 60%. Who is them?
The municipal representatives from the municipalities that Nancy had spoken to.
Okay, thank you.
Martha?
Basically this is, and Nancy talked about this with me as well, the communities that are would now agree to pay more so they could have the van available, would, if we didn't put this small amount of money in, they'd have to be paying $2,100 in order to lose their van. so that we get less and pay more. She also let me know that the following towns are considering budgets that increase the amount of funds for local youth programs generally, because we've been cutting, state has been cutting. Enfield, Groton, Lansing, Ithaca, and the Village of Lansing, and Ulysses. And so far, the following towns are budgeting the same amount for 2010 as 2009, even though they've lost matching funds. So they're from the state and county. So they're backfilling the cuts of the match from both us and the state. Caroline, Dryden, Danby, and Newfield. So I think they're really stepping up and trying to do everything that they can for their kids, and I hope we can support this.
Anyone else? All in favor of Frank's resolution to restore 4,100, is it flat 4,100? To the budget for the van?
One time.
Yes. Signify by raising your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed? 1, 2.
2.
Okay. 11 to 2.
12 to
2. 12 to 2. 12 to 2, sorry.
Frank, thank you for doing that.
We could fund that with a reduction in our salaries. Just a thought.
Nice try, Frank.
Do you have an opponent?
11 to 2.
Say again?
Do you have an opponent?
A write-in. Oh, some guy named Dennis.
Oh, okay. Anyone else got a resolution?
Just a correction. I think it was 11.
Leslie and Carol. Leslie?
Carol is correcting something on a previous vote.
Okay, go ahead.
I believe it was 11 to 2. There was a member out of the room.
He voted in the doorway.
He voted over here.
He was standing in the doorway.
It's hard to see. Location.
Hey, let me run this meeting, okay?
Sorry.
Anyone else have a resolution? Leslie.
Mr. Chair, I want to offer a couple of things. I missed the last budget meeting.
Okay.
Unfortunately. There's some things that got put back in the budget that I want to see if I can get taken back out of the budget. One is I'd like to move to reduce the funding to Cooperative Extension, the $16,700 COLA that was put in, to restore the 6.25% cut. We voted to add that in. I'd like to move to take that back out.
What OTR is that?
36. Thank you.
Yeah.
All our departments have had somewhere in the neighborhood of 6.25, some of them a little bit more, and are working with it. And so I'd like to put that as a proposal, a cut on the table. We've been adding a lot of stuff and no cuts.
Okay, is there a second to that? Mike? And discussion? Questions, comments? All in favor of Leslin's resolution? Raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, it should be 9. Right? 9. To 5, that fails. Go ahead.
I'll try one more.
All right.
I'd like to reverse the support for funding planning the advisory board, $8,178.
Second, Mike Hattery, discussion. Frank?
Yeah, there seems to be a misnomer going around that these three advisory boards that are covered by the cuts are getting by just fine with doing their own minutes and doing their own agendas and able to cover the cost. Let me assure you, they are not getting by just fine. The EMC and the Water Resources Council in particular have tackled through subcommittees the gas review of the material that has come out by the DEC. If it wasn't for staff supplied by the planning department, the minutes of those meetings and the agendas and the notices of those meetings, and in some cases the guests, the speakers that come, and we've had, I'm not familiar enough with the EMC, but I sure am with the Water Resources Council. We've had representatives from the DEC come to the council from the Great Lakes Water, Will was at that meeting, and also from the Susquehanna River Basin to talk about some of the ability to move water due to the hydrofracking from one water basin to another. I would argue strenuously that this is not one that can be absorbed easily.
Any other comments? Carol?
Yeah, I think I proposed this. We ask people who serve as volunteers on our advisory boards to do a fair amount of work and commit a lot of their own time and sweat to advising us. And this was not... I'm not on?
Sure.
I think I'm on. Hello. And it is not an insignificant effort, and I didn't think it was an insignificant cut that they were being asked to take, which was almost two-thirds of their staff time was the original proposal, and I think there was some negotiation and that we came to some accommodation, but it was a significant proportion, over half their time, and I just didn't think that was tenable for the people that we asked to come and put their own efforts in.
Carol, are you arguing in favor of the cut or against the cut?
No, I don't think that we... I think we need to keep that in the budget.
Thank you.
So I am not in favor of Leslin's motion.
I'm glad you asked that question.
I was getting excited, Carol. I thought you were surprised.
Hearing no, I don't see anyone anxious to talk on this. All in favor of the resolution as proposed by Leslin, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Well, I think I'll stop there.
Yeah.
He's not having any luck.
Anyone else have any resolutions, additions, deletions? Gee, it's too bad I can't do some, but go ahead.
You could.
I guess I'll have to wait till later.
Yeah. I have a question about the target fund balance and where do we stand with that? You know, where are we above the target?
I refer you to the orange sheet.
33A. Yeah, 33A shows that there's about 1.9 million in excess of target, the target 5% goal. Mm-hmm.
Could I ask you to talk about, is that enough, not enough, too much? You know, is this about where you want it to be? Knowing that the sort of the number of uncertainties that you were thinking about.
Well, Dave wants me to read the Moody's report, which, by the way, we did not have our negative outlook removed because we're still a little concerned about the future generally and our future specifically. There is, it's a very difficult question. It's a simple question, but it's a very difficult question to answer. I think you know that we all have a concern about what 2010 is going to look like, given the fact the state really is in a very difficult spot right now. I think that's the wild card, plus sales tax. Those are the two issues that concern, I think, all of us on the financial side the most. Having that money available to us to help carry through a year where we may experience significant mid-year cuts from the state makes good sense to me. That's how we've carried ourselves through this year. We were able to phase out and adjust to our new environment because we did hold some things back last year. And that's the way I look at this amount of money, too. Is it the perfect amount? I don't know if I could say it's the perfect amount, but I think it's appropriate given this very uncertain and difficult environment we're in right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's last year we had the same line had 833,000. So this year we're looking at 1.9 million there. Okay.
Yeah. Leslie and then Mike.
So on this same sheet, 31, the $1,050,000 is what we've already used to reduce it. Thank you.
Yes, and I just to make sure we're clear on that, that's the placeholder for the mortgage tax. I propose that we have a 0.25% increase in the mortgage recording tax that will then become recurring revenue for this budget. However, that requires your approval and state authorization to do. So this is essentially a placeholder waiting for those authorizations. So in the event the state approves that tax and you enact that tax, then depending on when that occurs, some or all this money could go back to fund balance.
Some of all of the 1 million plus?
That's right. The estimate for mortgage tax receipts is about $1 million. So let's assume that it could be approved by the state quickly and then enacted very quickly. Mm-hmm. So we get a full year's worth of revenue. That would be $1 million. Right. However, the state typically doesn't approve these authorizations until late in its own process. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's a very good assumption that we'll get it right away. To the extent that there are revenues that come from the mortgage tax, again, some or all of this could go back into the fund balance.
Mike, and then Frank.
On that line of thinking, I'd like to move that we anticipate a minimum of $100,000 in revenue from mortgage tax later in 2010. I think that's a pretty conservative assumption. And then we then take that will be a revenue that will then decrease the levy, and we can take how Joe and Norma handle the $1,050,000. I guess we'll just kind of put that back in general fund as opposed to that line. But my motion is to anticipate a revenue stream of $100,000 from mortgage tax. This is now predicating a vote that hasn't happened yet from this legislature, and that will decrease our levy by $100,000.
Is there a second?
No.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There is. Sorry. Okay. Now, Frank, and then Carol.
I don't think it's appropriate to do something like that. We haven't even passed this yet. We don't know even if the state is going to approve it. We have enough uncertainties in the budget trying to outguess what we're going to do on sales tax. But the other half of the question, Mike, is there a compensating decrease in the franchise tax? Or are we going to bless the public with keeping the existing franchise tax on as well? Is there a move to reduce that, which we raised a number of years ago?
Not part of my motion, no. You're talking about transfer tax.
I mean the transfer tax, excuse me.
May I make a comment? I don't think anything is inappropriate here at this point. Carol.
So I'm seconding Mike's motion.
I already had someone for that, but you double second. Martha. And then Martha.
I appreciate this. I agree. It's really minimal. If this passes, if you really think $1 million is going to come, would be a year's worth of revenue from this, right?
Yes.
So to book $100,000 out of this says that they're going to pass it, that it'll actually go into effect next November or something. So this is really conservative. And I'm looking at the 2009 adopted number there. Reduce the tax levy. We put from fund balance $1.3 million. And that wasn't anticipating some new revenue. That was out of the fund balance that we applied to the budget to reduce the levy. So I didn't realize this until you just said it, that basically we are not doing any of that this year. There is no fund balance applied simply to reduce the tax levy.
The capital fund balance is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct.
And that's a novelty, and I don't think we should do that.
Well, I'm talking about this line where we normally have, I'll say in the experience that I've been on the legislature, 600, 800, or up to 1.3 million to reduce the levy. And by the way, I think that's appropriate because basically it means the fund balance is carrying more than, the savings bank is this is really crude, I think this is right, the savings account is really bigger than it needs to be, and you can take some of that to pay for ongoing expenses. I don't think that's an inappropriate thing to do. But the point is, in Joe's tentative budget, there is none of that spending this year. That one million fifty is a different kind of money. So I think this is still very conservative, and I think it's a smart thing to do.
Leslie.
I think Martha said almost everything I wanted to say. I wanted clarification because we have taken from the fund balance to do this, but this year this is not what's happening. Is that right?
We have to assume, because although I proposed the increase in the mortgage tax, there's no authority to levy
right.
the tax. So we had to fill that gap with fund balance. So in the event those don't come true, we'll have to take this money out of the bank. Our hope is that we can reduce our reliance on one-time savings account appropriations to balance the budget. That's certainly our goal.
Right.
We are trying to wean ourselves off of fund balances, which, by the way, are over time getting smaller because we're not churning over surpluses every year as we did in the past mm-hmm. because of our difficult times.
Cool beans. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Joe. That got some interest. Frank, and then we'll go to Pam, and then we'll go to Will.
I just want to make sure I understand the nature of this proposed increase in the mortgage tax. And I applaud Joe for being innovative and looking at ways to raise additional money. But is it true that the majority of this is going to come from residential sales? Some commercial sales, because residential sales are not eligible for the IDA exemption. And then, if memory serves me right, the mortgage tax is waived on IDA. Isn't that correct, Martha?
Generally, it's not.
Not the local, just the state.
Not the local, just the state? Thank you.
What was that, Dave?
Generally, it's not waived. There's always a payment in lieu of mortgage tax that's distributed.
It's a pilot.
Right, but it's not. It could be.
It could totally be waived.
This IDA only waives the state portion, not the local portion.
Okay, Pam.
Well, I will not vote for this because for a while now I've been uncomfortable with our taking fund balance money and to reduce the tax levy. I think we will inevitably get caught some year when we don't have the fund balance and we have to come up with the money. So I think it's a wise move to be moving away from that use, and so I won't support it.
Okay, Will, and then we'll go back to you, Mike.
Yeah, I also am not comfortable. This is really counting our chickens before they're hatched. Who knows whether we will pass this, given the concern within the real estate community is to just its effect locally. Who knows what the state will do? Should we choose to do it, should the state follow through, it will be a nice surprise, right exactly when we need it, moving into next budget year. So I would keep it there.
Mike?
I just want to respond to Pam that indeed what we are doing now is spending one-time dollars, and what my motion is to actually plan for a revenue stream. So that's different than what you just said.
Well, that may be, but anyway.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for explaining your position.
Any other comments or questions about this resolution? All in favor of Mike's resolution to take $100,000 out of a projected revenue, right? Signify by raising your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed, if any. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is there 6? 8 to 6. It passes. Anyone else have any resolutions or additions or deletions? Oh, Mike.
I'd like to revisit the Sheriff's Department budget and wonder if instead of targeting a target reduction to cars, which we talked about last time, that we actually consider reducing a target generally, that the sheriff would then decide what parts of the budget he may be able to find resources to replace. It's a $3.8 million local share budget. I would move that we reduce that target budget by $49,000, which is the amount we debated last time.
Okay, is there a second? Carol, discussion. It's a second?
It's a second, and now I'm raising my hand for discussion.
Go ahead.
Okay. I think that we still do need to chip away at some possible places where we can build towards savings for the future. And I come back to these bar charts that we created that I use extensively. I went and looked at what are the items that are non-mandated responsibilities that we take on, non-mandated items that we take on, and of the size of the budgets for our different departments, which ones have the highest percentage and highest dollars of non-mandated portions of the budget where we can start building, where we can ask them to start building for the future. And to me, if you look at those charts, the sheriff's office has a $3.654 million total non-mandated and mandated responsibilities, of which $403,000 is actually mandated that we do it a certain way. Unlike the jail, where a larger percentage of it is fully mandated. Highway is another area. Facilities is another area. It seems to me that we have to find some places, and that's a budget that has some room in it, not to cut long-term, but to start building in ways in which the sheriff will be able to come back to us next year with what he's done in the meantime. So for this year, it seems to me that that's a reasonable amount to chip, and that's why I'm willing to support this. Mike's resolution to me this time leaves a little more flexibility than the specific vehicle resolution of last time, and so that's why I was willing
to
support
it. So you're making a statement in support of Mike's resolution?
Yes. Okay. And I'd refer you back to these charts.
I thought it was a form of a question, $1,000 under double jeopardy for the sheriff, but that wasn't it. Any other questions or comments? Dooley.
This is partly to Carol. The bar chart that you use can be useful, but if you're talking about what's mandated and what isn't, we don't have to have road patrol. We don't have to have a health department. And I don't really think we want to get rid of either of those things. And I think the sheriff's budget looks pretty tight to me this year. I haven't always felt that way. So I will not be supporting this.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. I didn't call on you and you had your hand up. Go ahead.
It's okay. I saw the sheriff here, so I figured, why not ask him? What's the United Way phrase I already gave the office? We had a $371,000 cut that we had to produce this year, and you still have $210,000 of that money, none of which I've asked for an OTR. The two OTRs are the difference between the 371 and 210, give or take a couple dollars, that are out there that the county administrator approved. We are at bare bones. We've reduced training, as I laid out in my presentation to you about a month ago. We reduced training, we reduced, you name it, everything. Equipment, supplies. The next thing to go are people. And people are the most important thing that we need as a law enforcement agency to do the job. And as I stated earlier, I think last week when I was here when this discussion came up, and again in my presentation, we are at a budget that we can only sustain through 2010 as it is now. Next year, we're not going to be able to sustain this. If we have to maintain
the same level of cut and or look for any further cuts, it will be a different budget, you see. It will be reducing deputy sheriffs on the road, which is something I don't want to do, and I really don't think you want to do that, or I'm hoping the majority of this legislature doesn't, because our calls for service have increased, the complexity of calls have increased. There is nobody to backfill the service. The state police, if you want, I can bring them in here and they'll tell you, just like they did in Tioga 2 years ago when they talked about eliminating the road patrol, that they're not coming in to backfill the service. So we're at a bare bones situation right now. So further reductions start meaning people. We've kept away from staff on purpose because we still want to try to provide a level of service and see how the economy goes.
Anyone else?
I would just say that when I do hear from constituents, it's not that often, unfortunately, they say you have to keep the basic services, the road and the share, and the road, maintain the roads and keep the deputies on the road. So, I mean, and most people think those are the mandated services. They, I think, because it's the ones they care about, the ones they see that are visible, and those are the services they want us to cover. And you know, if the money isn't there, the people can't keep doing the same thing. And this is something where I don't think we can cut it any further.
Anyone else? The resolution is to diminish the budget by $49,000 in the general and target, and the sheriff would then have to deal with how he would implement that cut. All in favor of Mike's resolution, signify by raising your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8. Okay. 8, 6, that motion fails. Anyone else have anything? Dooley.
Some meetings ago, I don't remember which one, I had encouraged everyone to support the addition of a position in the finance department. And I realized that we are cutting positions rather than adding positions. That's everyone's mindset. But since the finance director had indicated in the past that having a purchasing assistant was very likely to save us money, I am coming back to propose not a full-time, which is what I did before, but a half-time position, which the finance director also indicates would be useful for the same reasons. And I believe that costs around $30,000, but I don't have the number precise. But my motion is to add a half-time purchasing assistant, neighborhood of $30,000, in order to save us money.
Is there a second for Dooley's half-time 30K position? Any discussion? Mike?
April 30th, we had a retreat. We set a target. Our department heads were asked to go out on a mission to give us the best thinking as to what would be a reasonable way to balance services with our tax levy. If David had thought that he could hire a half-time person and save more than he could, than it would be expensed, he would have put that in the budget. And this has not been forwarded by David. I don't think I'm going to be supporting it now because I don't see that logic being given to us from our own department head.
Anyone else?
Could I ask Mr. Squires to speak about this?
Well, look, yes, you can, but Pam had her hand up first. Pam?
Well, no, that's fine. Go ahead and let David
speak.
Ahead.
Dooley, go ahead. Ask Mr. Squires to respond.
Well, it's true that, I mean, the department couldn't show any savings because we provide a service for other departments. The logic was the missed opportunities because of the short staffing would accrue, you know, the savings would accrue to the organization as a whole, not to any one area.
Any other comments? Questions? And now, Pam.
Well, I basically support this idea, and because I think it is. I think that Dooley's thoughts on this are accurate, but I'm concerned about doing it right at this moment. I mean, I guess I would like to. I would prefer having us say that if we can get the state to approve our increase in taxes, that we. That we would use some of that money to hire somebody. But I think I'm going to have to wait until next year to for another budget season to go with this, even though I know and I think that Dooley is right.
Will?
I think Dooley is right. I think this is the year to do it, because I think we need those savings now, not next year. We will need them next year as well, but I really believe that they're there. Michael, your concern that why David did not bring it originally, I think we already discussed. He's a good team player. We gave him the charge. He lived within it. This is an idea that has been percolating for some time. I really believe that we will benefit, and I hope we will vote for it this year.
Martha?
Can we get, is $30,000 including the fringe?
The original estimate was 60. Yeah, it should be 30,111 should be the right amount.
Mike.
I will support this.
Mike, I just mentioned that last time we discussed this, we were aware that Cornell has just gone through a major reevaluation of their purchasing. Something can be gained by investigating that. We don't have that information today. I think it's speculative. I think we can give, as Pam says, David a year to come back with a proposal or the entire administrative team. We have an administrative cabinet that can look at shared resources and savings. We just don't have that today.
Dooley.
Well, based on the article in the Ithaca Journal, Cornell is revamping its purchasing approach in order to centralize it. And that's really what we have already. Theirs was much more decentralized. And they hope to save a couple of $1 million. We're not in that league, but we will save enough to cover this position, I'm sure.
May I make a comment? I would like to support this, but I'm not going to now. I think there are several things that the county has to look at over the next year in combining things, working in different areas and avenues that we haven't been in before, and this clearly is going to be one of them. So I think a proposal like this might be worth more a little bit later in the year as the legislature takes a look at doing some other things, including purchasing. So any other comments or questions about this? All in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Opposed? All the rest of them. 11, 3 to 11. Any other resolutions? Dooley.
Well, I'm sure that this will not go very far, but I want to go on record about it anyway. This is OTR-3. It's one that the administration put into the budget. It's using capital funds, capital reserve funds, to lower the tax levy. It's not something I remember us doing. I think our capital program is not going to go away. If anything, I think we should be advancing it, as I mentioned, for highway. And so this is a large amount, $225,000, I believe, and I would like not to use that and have that put on the tax rate. So that would be my motion.
Is there a second to Dooley's motion? Pam.
I'm sorry, can you tell us where to look for this one?
In the OTR book, it's OTR number 3.
What is it? Norma, what would the impact of that be?
I'm sorry,
I distracted her. It's my fault.
Taking the... To reduce... not use fund balance? Is that what the...
Capital dollars.
Capital
fund balance.
In the past, we've used our...
That would...
Other fund balance. And this is capital.
That would be about 0.7 on the tax levy.
So it reduced the tax levy?
No, it would increase.
Oh, your increase.
Yeah. If we don't use the fund balance, it will increase the tax levy.
Was there a second to that?
Yes, I seconded it.
Okay, discussion. Pam.
Well, I I guess I have been uncomfortable with using fund balance to reduce a tax levy, and I'm even less, I mean, I'm even more uncomfortable using the capital fund balance to reduce a tax levy. I wish someone could explain to me why we are doing this instead of taking it out of the regular fund balance.
Mike? I think you're looking at our green sheets. Is the number you moved, Dooley, 222,000? Is that the...
I'm trying to find where she is.
I think so.
222,50.
Okay.
So where's my green sheet?
Our present capital, 20-year capital plan, is expecting us, we have a policy to do this, of setting aside 1% a year. Every year, the taxpayers will pay 1% of their levy towards ongoing maintenance of our capital infrastructure. Some years, that capital, the 1%, will be banked because we don't have to spend it down. Some years, we're at a deficit and we actually have to dip into it. But the idea is, over time, we will not have to go to the taxpayers, say, in 2015 for a new building. We will have budgeted for all our capital needs over time well. So to take out the 222 in this year, and I understand that the effort, but it erodes, I think Ed Marks was here before, and he's here now, it erodes the potential to maintain the long-term viability of our capital plan. I mean, I may well be supporting this because of the excruciating nature of this year, but I think people need to be aware of what the motion is. It's eroding that 1% being set aside every year for a long-range capital plan so we don't have to go back to the public for a special levy in 3 or 4 years.
I'm sorry, you think my motion is eroding the capital balance?
If you're taking out the 222...
I want to restore it to where in the capital funds. I don't want to use it to lower the tax levy increase.
All right, I misunderstood then. I thought you were going the opposite direction.
No.
No, that's what I thought too.
Excuse me, I misunderstood.
Martha?
I'm looking at the screen. I don't know if I disappeared for a while. I could find my book. What's the to the left of that column, Mike? Is that last year? The minus 343.
That's correct.
So last year we took 343 out of the capital program and put it towards the fund, towards the levy.
That doesn't
and
make
next
it right
year
or good.
It would be 68.1 instead.
Right. And you'll see up above the next year zero, and the following year above that is that 666,750. You'd actually be building a surplus fund balance at that point.
I'm happy with it where it is then.
Okay.
I misspoke when I said it hadn't happened before. It's a Okay. I had obviously blacked that out because I thought it was so bad.
Well, I think this is we've got to do this. I won't support the motion.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah.
Pam and then Dooley.
Well, I understand this a little bit better, and I am willing to go along with it this year.
Dooley.
I'm going to have to turn to Norma because I don't know where my chart is, but increasing the tax levy by 0.7% would have what effect on $100,000 worth of property?
$5? Yeah. But, well, no. It raises the tax rate to $6.03. It's a 1.6% increase over last year.
You don't have your charts either. Okay. It's not very much...
No.
In terms of dollars at all.
Catching me off guard.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor of Julie's resolution, raise your hand, please.
Ooh, it's so lonely.
One. Two. Opposed. 2 to 12. 12 to 2. Good talk. What? Do we have more resolutions? Martha, you have your hand up?
No, I was. It was slowly coming down from the vote.
Any other resolutions? Mike?
I hate to go here, but now that we have our capital sheets out, and I'm sure Ed's going to kill me. Sorry. If you turn over from the page you're just looking at on the side that says 20-year capital program and debt service, and it starts with ban and then goes on to bond, the 1989 mental health building bond for 2010 is expected to be our last payment of $258,000. That's on the levy. If we paid that in cash, it would take $258 off the levy. So I will move to convert that payment, $258, as much as I really push this whole capital plan 1% aside, I think we have to do extraordinary measures here. I will move to convert that $258 on the levy to $258 one-time cash.
Is there a second for that? Leslin? Second?
Sigla had it.
All right. Well, it's a joint second. Is there a question?
Mike, can you explain what the, by accelerating the payment, which I assume is going to be...
It's just replacing the payment.
What is there a savings that translates to the county in doing that?
Ed would disagree with this, but the savings only converts what was a levy to one time. It takes that amount of money off the levy. But unfortunately, it takes that amount of money off our levy in perpetuity. But I believe we have to do it this year.
Mike Hatter.
And so payment for this would come from fund balance.
Correct.
Mike Sigler.
The money that we're going to take to pay, are we earning interest on that now? What is that interest? And then what is the interest we're paying on the bond? You know what I'm saying? I mean, are we trying?
Well, I'm almost sure our interest on the money that's sitting in the bank that we pay in cash is lower than what we're paying for that particular bond, because this is the end of a whole series. But David refinanced it recently. He can probably tell us what the numbers are.
Well, there's no cash flow advantage, but I would have to advise you that this is dropping off. This $200,000 principal payment is dropping off. It's going to be replaced by more than $200,000 when we permanently finance the health department building. And that's part of the level. We're trying not to have these wild spikes from one year to the next. We're trying to manage this. So the consequence would be you could lower the tax rate in 2010, but you would have pressures to increase the tax rate because you have mandatory debt payments that will increase in 2011.
That's $689,000. Yeah. May I, Norton, I want to let Norma in. Are you okay? You want to?
All I want to do is just make, when we would be taking this money from the general fund, not the capital fund balance. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Nathan, and then Martha.
Yeah, I don't support this because we're basically just making, we're just giving us ourselves another 0.67 or whatever percent tax levy increase next year. And that's what we're voting to do, basically. And I think that given the way the economy is, that many of our sales tax numbers and whatnot lag, we're going to get hit really hard next year, probably maybe even harder than this year. And so I think it's not a wise decision. And so therefore I'm going to vote against this for the same reason why I thought we should be prudent, conservative about pension estimates too. I think that if we don't act now, then we'll just face it next year.
Thank you, Nathan. Martha, and then Mike Hatter.
Well, you can see it on your green sheet where the health department this year, or for 2010, is $300,000, and it goes to $689,458 next year. So it'll be really nice that, you know, we've already built in that $258 this year, that still carries through. So I can't support this.
I think that's what David just said.
I'm not commenting about this particular thing. I applaud the recent set of motions to try and deal with our tax rate. But I think the problem is that we're trying to do things that will damage our fund balance and fiscal position rather than doing what we should have done and kept spending low. and not add at all the spending we've done. We can't achieve what I think is going to be a valuable position for the future unless we cut spending.
Was there someone who had their hand up after Mike Hatter? Let me just point out, and I agree in principle with Mike, but what we've increased is roughly $380,000 over the tentative budget that the county administrator gave us. Frank?
Can I ask you just a general question, Mr. Chairman? I know your hope is to wind this up this evening.
Well, I have a lot of other hopes, too, but they don't always come true.
Well, and hope springs eternal, right?
Yeah.
Can you describe, well, perhaps this particular moment is not the right moment, but before this evening is over, can you describe what the process will be like during the next several meetings? And if we have further changes, that after we digest what we've already done, how would we bring them forward?
Well, what we would do here, if we had a resolution to adopt the budget, the tentative budget, for the November 4th public hearing, it would be those numbers if that's what came forth. And there would be no more scheduled meetings of the expanded budget committee. The next meeting we would have would be the public hearing, and then after that, I believe you would end up voting on the budget sometime in the middle of November, or late part of November, and then those kinds of actions. I think it's been my experience here that when you voted on the budget, there's always been several moves that people have made once the final budget is adopted. There are two chairs of the budget committee in the room. Am I supposed to be in my mic?
The only addition I would make to that is we would have to come into session on Wednesday of this week,
right,
very briefly, to accept the recommendation of this committee.
Okay.
As a county board?
Yes.
We're
adjourned day to day.
We're adjourned day to day.
But the night of the budget hearing would present another opportunity to amend the budget,
no,
or not?
It could. If we had
I'm getting mixed signals.
Technically, it could. Dooley's right.
Right.
People would have to put member file resolutions in that packet. Otherwise, the normal time we would take it up, that resolution for amendment, is the second meeting in November.
In November.
Okay. And there's an outline of the budget process. I think it was on your desk. Anything else, Martha?
Clarification, Norma. Oh, I see. 3.29. You had 3.99. So with
Mike's motion, that's what the text.
Okay. Without it, it was 3.99.
That's correct.
No. Thank you.
And we still have a motion on the floor, right?
Right.
And it's Mike's motion?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Are we ready to vote on that? All in favor of Mike's motion, signify by raising your hand. 1, 2, 3. Opposed. And 11-3. It was defeated. Anything else? Is there a motion to adopt this budget resolution? Nathan?
I'll move it.
Is there a second?
You asked if there was anything else.
Yeah,
oh,
she had her hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, when I say anything else, I don't know that there's a significant amount of time I have to wait.
She
go ahead.
She set her hand up right away.
Okay. I thought you were going to move the budget.
Can we talk about this a little bit?
Let's go.
When Pat Buchel was here and we talked about the importance of a security officer in the Human Services Building, there were only 8 legislators present. And there's a much better attendance tonight. I would like us to revisit that. Is that okay?
I'm sorry, what do you want to revisit?
The security officer in the Human Services Building, when Pat Buchel was here and explained why you need 2 people, one can't do it.
It's not
is it okay to revisit?
You have a resolution.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, you don't have to have a resolution. We have
motion.
We just make a motion.
Motion. A motion, Pam. I'm sorry.
Julie, it's
I'm
not,
making mistakes. Okay.
It's in the Justice Center, not the Human Services Building.
Right.
I'm sorry. Justice Center is
that's
what
that's what
I
you
mean.
Meant?
Yes. Yes, I meant the Justice Center.
What was the amount?
20. It's 24,737. What's the OTR number 88?
Thank you. That's what I didn't have written.
Okay. Page 70 of the OTR pages. I don't have the other one.
For those of you who weren't here, there was a lot of discussion about whether or not a single security officer would be adequate. And because that single security officer can't be there every day all year, and because there can be disturbances elsewhere, he will be called away from the door to deal with them, she feels it important to have two persons there. So the door is always watched. And I'd like us to reconsider that. The motion is to restore the dollar amount Norma just said.
24,737.
Target.
Target.
Target. Is there a second for that? Any second with?
Call the question.
All in favor of calling a question, raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Calling the question. 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The question has been called. The resolution is for, or the motion is for 24,000 and change to restore a halftime position, security position to probation.
Before we vote, can we see what that proposal will do to the numbers?
Oh, it'll pop it above four.
Thanks.
Any other information needed? All in favor of the resolution as proposed by Dooley, please raise your hand. One on this side of the room, one on this side. Two. Opposed, if any. Motion is defeated. Do I have a resolution to Mike?
I'd like to. I'm guessing here about the pacing of this meeting, and I know that people may be wanting to move towards the adoption resolution, but I'd like to move a few more changes to the budget from where we discussed in our first three meetings.
How about it?
I'd like to revisit the vote we had at our last meeting regarding rural libraries to restore their 6.25%, which was 10,300, that included Finger Lakes Library System. So I would move to reverse that addition of a target. I would reduce the 10,300 for all the combination of the five rural libraries plus Finger Lakes Library. I'm glad to speak to that if I have
so
a second.
Deleting 10,000, there's a second to it by Mike Hattery. Discussion.
Question.
All in favor of calling the question, raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed to calling the question? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're calling the question. All in favor of Mike's resolution, signify by raising your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed? All the rest. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Go ahead, Mike.
I'd like to move the addition of one-time funding of $10,000 for bail fund for OAR, and I'll speak to it if I get a second.
Dooley, is a second.
We now have a history, a track record of the last 3 years of doing this, where there's a very quick consequence towards savings. Earlier in this meeting, we talked about how long a potential savings in finance might take, et cetera. We do have a track record. We have the director of OAR here to speak about potential savings this year if we increase it by 10,000 and how quickly that could be turned around. Her estimate, I believe, if I remember correctly, was around 9 months. So I think that track record and that analysis of people that would not be filling jail cells but would be out on bail with their criteria would return funds within 9 months back to the county.
Call all in favor of calling the question. Raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed to calling the question? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I guess we're not calling the question. Pam.
Is this an OTR?
No, it's no. OAR is reviewed. Both by Public Safety Committee, but also I think they're under the Human Services Coalition, and I'm just adding one-time money. It's not an OTR.
It's they didn't ask for it.
Call it legislative OTR, sure.
Mike and then Martha.
I want to give my biannual wonky speech that I think it's wrong for this branch of government to oppose another branch of government through a bail fund. So, there you have it. I've shortened it in
very good.
3 years.
Martha.
Well, at least it's shorter this year than in the past. That's good.
I tried.
This is a really effective way to use the funds, use money. We have heard from Deb Dietrich over this year that they're having to let some people go, or they don't have the funds to reach them with the bail that they have available, bail monies that they have available, and she's just aware that that some people are sitting in jail longer than they should otherwise be. And the point of bail is only that people who can't afford the money don't have to sit there. It's not anything to do with a judgment of guilt or innocence. That remains with the judge. So this is simply that people who are impoverished and can't come up with $500 shouldn't sit there because of a misdemeanor charge.
Anyone else? A sense of vote. All in favor of Mike's resolution, raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 9 to 5, it passes. Go ahead, Mike. It's your show.
I'd like to reverse the partial COLA for the human service agencies. That was a 5-3 vote, $10,000, and I'd move to reverse that, so take out the $10,000 target money for human service agencies.
Is there a second, Mike Cattery?
Call the question.
All in favor of calling the question, raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Not opposing calling the question, raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4. 8. Okay. The question has been called. Mike has a motion to reduce by how much? 51?
No.
Or 10?
10,000.
That's the next one, right? All in favor of Mike's motion, please signify by raising your hand. Reduce by 10,000. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed, if any. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 8 to 6. Anything else? Mike?
Two more. I'd like to move to reduce the target for our paving program by $50,000 to be for the Highway Division to be allocated by the Highway Division. You know, I say paving, but they can decide how to allocate that.
Is there a second?
Say that again? Sorry.
No, died for lack of a second. Anything else?
What was the motion? Decrease
the target of $50,000 in our highway division. But no, if there's not a second, then it's not going to
go
very far.
Yeah, right. We're moving on. Go ahead.
And I would make the same motion for our facilities division. $50,000 target decrease for our deferred maintenance because we just added $200,000 one-time funding for it.
Is there a second? Frank. Discussion. Mike.
I think this is a useful use of one-time funding. When our deferred maintenance is behind, we use one-time funding to catch up. I know that it's also wise to put money every year into the target, but if we have as much as $1 million extra in one time, and we may have that much next year, we don't know, then we can still allocate all that the facilities division needs for maintenance next year, and decreasing the target is not necessarily going to be a hit down the line. So it's a wise investment of one-time money, and that's why I would decrease target for this 1 year.
Dooley.
You're recommending decreasing the target for 1 year and restoring it thereafter? This is a two-year motion?
No. I'm just making one motion. But we already restored, I believe. I wasn't here for the vote, but there, $200,000 in one time was restored earlier in these voting meetings.
$200,000 one time?
Correct.
That's not restoring target.
What
concerns me is that you said when there is deferred maintenance, we are always in that situation, and it's getting worse. And cutting the target seems really irresponsible to me. We have to take care of our physical assets, among other reasons, to keep our bond rating decent.
Any other comments or statements to be made? Go ahead.
Using an extension of that same argument, our physical assets consists of roads and bridges also as part of the CASB, is that what it's called?
Yeah,
and the overall look that they're taking. This is a maintenance on our buildings, which I think any one of us would agree can ill afford to be postponed. But nonetheless, we're asking homeowners to postpone repairs on their own homes in some regard to absorb some of the increases that we're talking about. If we're not going to restore money for the paving program, and I don't see that in any of the proposals, we tried that the other night and it failed, those assets need to be maintained just as rigorously as our buildings. I just refer you to the, I think it was a week ago Saturday, Zithica Journal article about the Ellis Hollow Road and the cost of that road to do what we were going to do several years ago was about $1.8 million. If my memory serves me right, the restoration that they're talking about now because of material and everything else is over $5 million. So deferring our roads program has just as much of a devastating effect as our building program does.
Martha.
I'm kidding. What is the motion? I'm sorry.
The motion is to take...
decrease target $50,000.
Facilities.
But it's for the building maintenance piece, not the roads.
Deferred maintenance facilities.
Right. Building maintenance.
Okay, I can't support this. Okay. I think we're getting into the silly season, guys. I
really no, that's all right. Let's pay just roll on. I mean, this is, you know, it was bound to happen at some point, and I don't think it's inappropriate for it
Thank
to
you.
Happen now, so please just move on. If you have comments or questions, then we'll vote. No comments? All in favor of Mike's resolution, signify by raising your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed, if any? All the rest, 10-4. Okay, Mike, got anything else? Martha?
I just meant these are, you know, such small amounts of money in the budget, in a $73 million budget, and I think we have been struggling to find balances, and anyway, I think we're really almost there.
Leslie.
You know what, Martha? People are bringing motions to make reductions.
Yeah.
We've added a whole bunch of stuff, and I don't think that it's unfair, and I think it's unfair to characterize it as silly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's my guess here is part of the process. So.
Okay.
God knows we love process here. Anyone else? is there anyone who wants to make a motion on the budget? Nathan.
What's the exact phrase? Do I move the tentative budget?
Yes.
Yes. I'd like to move the tentative budget.
And it would be a total tax levy amount. Norman, do you want to fill in the blanks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Tax levy would be $38,298,470.
Okay.
Tax levy increase would be 3.97%.
And an average tax rate?
$5.99.
Okay, $5.99.
What was the change from last year?
Yeah,
from 2009?
It's
an increase, not a decrease.
Oh.
The word decrease has to change to increase?
Yeah, right.
Increase,
the
right.
word decrease has to change to increase.
Good observation.
5 cents?
5 cents.
It's
like a
6 cent
increase.
It's about a
6 cent
increase.
6 cent. In dollar amount, it's nearly $380,000 above the 3% levy that we set way back in May.
I can't read. What is the
We need a second, by the way. Martha, you're seconding? Go ahead.
What's the total levy?
Total levy is $38,298,470.
Nathan.
Yeah. I'd like to support this budget tonight because I think that, well, first off, it's been a tough budget. We've had expenses that were unanticipated that hit us, like our pensions costs that increased our levy by $200,000. But if you take out that $200,000, we did vote to increase about 0.5% over target. And frankly, I'm proud of that extra 0.5% because I think we funded very important programs, restored funding in most cases for very important programs, whether it was the High Need Rural Youth Program or the Psychiatric Social Worker, or restoring funding for and the full hours for our Public Information Officer. I think these are all good for the public, and I think they're all wise choices. I think it's also important to think about the maintenance of effort when we're voting on this budget tonight. The maintenance of effort, if you add those pension costs, would have been about 16%, an increase to the levy of 16%, right? Because you have health care costs that go up, you have resources that go up, utility costs that go up. And so I think coming in with a 4% or 3.97% target is pretty good. And I think that what's good about it is that we funded critical services, but at the same time, we decided to keep a lot of funding to protect ourselves for next year. You know, it was very tempting to, you know, reduce our capital program or to do a whole host of other measures that would have made this year look good at the expense of having a very, very tough budget next year. But we didn't make that choice. And so I think that this is a good budget. It's a wise budget. It's a prudent budget. And I think we did good, and I think we should support this tonight. Thank you.
I really apologize for saying it was silly. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just tired. I agree with Nathan. I think that to remember that we were given a budget and at 3%, and then kind of got this the pension increase that we really didn't expect, and that was beyond what Joe had been dealing with. So, and that's $195,000 out of this increase. So I think given that. We really are. We really made a lot of cuts. This is not a matter of increases. This is a lot of cuts. And I have a question. This is the percent change, Norm. In this resolution, the resolution says a countywide average tax rate increase of 1%. Is it right?
Mm-hmm.
So the tax rate increased 1%. Okay. Thank you.
Anything else?
Yeah. Joe, the contingent fund that's on the salmon sheet that we were given tonight, the 1026 one, line 6, has us at $766,000. Is that, are we going to have to adjust that in any way based on anything that... That's going to remain the same if this resolution passes.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Jim.
Dooley.
I wish I felt as good about this budget as Nate does. I remember that the majority of the legislature gave Joe and our departments this 3% guideline, no tax levy increase beyond 3%. They worked very hard. They came in with a tentative budget, which when we saw the hurt it did, I think in different ways each of us wanted to make changes. Only some of those changes have gotten through. I don't think this is sets us up well for next year, which I don't figure will be an easier year. And so I wish I could celebrate with you all, but I can't. And I won't be supporting this.
Frank.
I think we all owe the staff a real vote of thanks for doing this. I know this has been tough on not
just every single department, but Joe and Norma, David, Paula, it's been a real chore for everyone. The agencies haven't had an easy time either. Some of us that are relatively close to reviewing what comes out of the coalition can attest to that. It's not been an easy task, and then dealing with situations that the health department has had to deal with. But I think in particular, we ought to give a vote of thanks to Jim Dennis, who has kept a sense of humor through this whole thing and chastised us when he had to. But
thank you.
He's asked me to read this statement on his behalf. And he said in particular that Mike Hattery and Carol Chalk have not paid their $25.
And NYSEG is raising the rates. Right?
Yeah, that's yeah. But I really think we ought to thank Jim for that.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. You know, it's a great job being the chair of the budget committee in the same year the Titanic is launched.
I just want to correct the record here. It's a cash transaction.
Yeah, right. Go ahead, Mike.
I won't be able to support this tentative budget because if we vote on this tonight and we can make no other changes, it goes at 3.97 out to the public, and I think that's too high. I think that we can do more work. We had 3 days of adding. We had about close to a full day of making some adjustments. We have time on Wednesday, at least, to do some revisits. So if it doesn't pass tonight, I think we should at least come back for an hour to consider continued adjustments.
What's that? Excuse me, Mike. That's not what I heard Jim describe before when I essentially asked the same question. We can bring additional changes the night of the hearing, which is unlikely, but certainly the night that the budget vote is taken.
My point was if we recommend this to Wednesday and the legislature accepts it, that becomes a new tentative budget. And if no changes are made, if we hear from 1,000 people in the public, but we can't get 8 votes to make any change, this becomes the default budget. I'm not ready to make this my default budget. I'm requesting that we consider coming back into our second revisit meeting on Wednesday.
Thank you. Thanks for the
question. Anyone else want to make a comment? Well, let me just make a comment as the chair of this operation for a short period of time. Julie used the word celebrate, and I don't mean to. It's hard to think about celebrating this budget in this county at this time. Many of you have been a part of budgets when things were a whole lot better, even me for a year or so. But I think given the facts that face us as legislators, I think you've all done pretty good job getting to this point, and I will apologize publicly to any of you if I've offended, and you can talk to me out in the hall about that. But I think you've all done a good job. I really appreciate the fact that people were here for as many people as could be here, and certainly the work of Norma, Joe, David, and Kevin, all of the staff have done to get us to this point. Anything else? All in favor of the resolution, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And opposed to the resolution. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Where will we go now? Well, I don't what happens now? Yeah, Mike.
If people have more motions tonight until 8 o'clock, we can make them.
Yeah,
if people have motions at 5 o'clock on Wednesday, they can make them. I will, at this moment, call us back into session as a full legislature.
Before you say that, 5 or 5:30, we have to determine a time.
Wait, another.
What's on the schedule? What is it on schedule for?
5.
We have 5.
Expanded budget meeting
at 5. Yeah.
Right.
So it's an expanded budget meeting at 5.
Right, so I would ask the legislature to come back into session like 5:45 on Wednesday.
All right, Martha?
This meeting is set till 8 o'clock. I would suggest perhaps a 15-minute recess, and we come back at 7:45 and see if we have anything fine with me. It's moved.
It's fine.
Caucus?
I didn't say that.
No. Recess.
Recess would be good.
Yeah, all right. Do we need to vote on that? I don't think so.
Just declare a 15-minute recess.
15-minute recess.
Yeah,
you're not going.
Is there a motion to adopt the tentative budget? Dooley?
I voted with the noes, which was the winning side. I'd like to reconsider.
Is there a second? Pam, any more discussion?
Well, I'm sorry, I would like to say something.
Sure.
I voted no, and I voted no not because I couldn't support that the percentage that we have come up with. I voted no because I was concerned that we made sure that we had a complete process. And on reflection, I decided that we have. We actually have had lots of meetings, and people have had their opportunities. So I am... I would have voted for this on Wednesday, and so I decided that I will vote for it tonight.
Let me make one comment. This is a vote on to reconsider,
right.
And then there would be a second vote on the tentative budget. It was my mistake. So we're voting to reconsider. Anyone else want to speak to that? All in favor of reconsidering, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm sorry, the vote was 9-5 to reconsider. Now the main motion. Martha?
I have a question. Norma, you said the spending was $38 million and such. What was it last year?
$36,837,645.
Last year, 36?
837, 645.
Okay, thank you.
645. And this year is what? 38 what?
38. 298, 470 is what's is on right now.
Well, now that's the, I'm sorry, but that's the, is that the property tax levy or is that the total spending?
That's the levy.
That's the property tax amount. Okay.
Dooley?
Yes. Upon reflection, I decided I would prefer to support this budget than the county administrators, so I will vote to support this.
Is there a second?
Is there a second?
Pam, comments, questions? Carol and Greg, and then Martha.
No, I just want to speak in favor of us doing this. It's not with the enthusiasm that was expressed earlier about it. I think this is a really tough year, and there are things I would really like to have seen added to this, things that I thought could have come out. And I'm not enthusiastic about the kinds of choices we've had to make this year. But I do think that the administrator and our department had did an incredible job of coming in at what we asked with the expectation that we were, that it is our role to revisit and make some changes, and we've done that, not as much as we'd like, and I just like to urge us, I don't think it's going to get easier if we put it off. It's only going to get harder. So I will vote for this.
It was Greg, Martha, Mike.
I voted for this last time, not because I think that we did the best job we could with the budget, but simply because I don't think there's 8 votes to support much of anything else out here. We could stay several more nights, probably, and enjoy talking about the budget some more, but I don't know what that would accomplish. So I'll support this again, not because I... necessarily will support the budget when it comes time to contemplate adoption, but simply because I think that we've run out of things that 8 of us agree on.
Mark.
I think second both of what's just, both comments have just been said. I think after 4 years of this group doing budgets together, and some of us longer than that, but kind of pretty much know where REACH is leaning. And so if anybody were really happy about this, probably, I mean, I don't know who that person is. Nobody really is. So, but I think it's the best we can do.
Mike? I would caution against voting for this, even as a tentative budget, if you can't eventually support it at this level, because we are having trouble getting 8 votes for some things along the way. We may have trouble getting 8 votes on Wednesday to adopt it, but I think if we vote tonight, that will happen. But it's unlikely, given the process of tonight at least, that we're going to have a strong majority on whatever that is, November 17th. So that, just want to caution people that this will become the default budget if we don't have any changes. I have a few changes I would still try to make on Wednesday or on November 17th after we hear from the public. So I'm not going to be supporting it because I think there still is, there are considerations that should be made to weave in here.
Leslie.
You know, in previous years, I've sat through, I don't know how many of these budgets just yet. And, you know, always come at the end not fully satisfied, but feeling like I can support what's on the table. This year, I don't feel that way. I have my own concerns about where some of our priorities are. We are letting staff go. Or, you know, there's layoffs for people in tough times. But then we are fine with spending money on other non-human costs. I understand personnel costs are usually the biggest issues for a lot of organizations, but I feel discomforted by that fact that there are people who are going to lose jobs, potentially going to be out there with children to feed, and you have that balance of do I add some more to pave the roads or do I keep this family fed? And that is a tough place to be. And it gnaws at the very core of my stomach right now. And so I cannot reasonably support this budget because I don't think the priorities for me were in the right place. As well as just our process in trying to get to a tax levy increase that isn't going to be more burden on those who are out there. We have fees increasing for those of us who live and represent the city. We know that that's a triple whammy coming our way between the city budget numbers that are not done just yet. The city school district, which in its own right is huge, it's going to be really, really rough. When I first came on this legislature, I had a rough time because, you know, I wasn't working. Mom, who's just trying to hang on by the skin of my teeth. I work now and I make a reasonable living to support my family. But I feel those costs every day. And I think people, sometimes when you look at the income levels, the federal government says whether you're low income or not, don't consider a whole lot of things. So even the people who are out there making, you know, $40,000 and $50,000 find it difficult if you consider things like child care costs alone. It's very expensive for folks, health care costs, any number of things. So I feel pretty torn about this because I know we have to make things happen. Within our county, we have to maintain our roads and our bridges and our buildings and any number of things. But I also feel that in this economy, when things are so hard and people are struggling so hard, that I can't reasonably support the priorities in this budget.
Frank.
Thanks, Jim. November 4th is a week from Wednesday. It would be interesting to see what the public feels about this. And I think while I voted no the first time around, this simply is going to get it out so that the public can react to it. I'd be interested in hearing what the reaction is to some of the changes we made. I think most of you have received the same letters from the real estate agents that I've been receiving, excuse me, about the impact and what the result has been about people leaving the county, because any increase is almost the straw that broke the camel's back, or perhaps could do it. So I agree with Mike that if you're not going to support the final budget and there are some changes that may come through, this will perhaps at least get it to the public's view. And I might end up agreeing with Greg. Surprise.
Anyone else? Mike.
Could I just ask, looking at my notes, the $95,000 for that pension, did that actually fail changing it to one time by 7 to 7?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
If I could ask, well, maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah, please don't.
Okay.
All right. Anyone else? All in favor of the resolution to accept the tentative budget, to approve the tentative budget as stated on the screen and by name, please signify by raising your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 9 to 5. There will be a meeting of the legislature 5:30 Wednesday. Is that?
Let's change that to 5 now that we don't have to meet
okay.
this body.
We will change that to 5.
That was our scheduled time anyway.
The continuing meeting. Is there a motion to adjourn here this evening? All in favor, signify by saying aye. Thank you very much.
I don't need to adjourn.